Please turn to Exodus chapter 25. Please turn to the book of Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8 and verse 9. Good morning, Brother Prasad. Good to see you. Good to be welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. So this chapter 25 and verse 8 and verse 9. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall he make it. Shall we pray? Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for this wonderful morning you've given to us, that we may come to thy presence and worship the living and holy God. Father, I ask your blessing upon this precious word. You're a great God. You're a mighty God. Lord, we are a weak vessel, O Father. Pray, Lord, that in you, Lord, we have our strength. And pray for your blessing upon this servant, that you may divide this word and bless this word, that you may stir our hearts, that we may live according to your purposes. In Jesus' precious name, we humbly ask and pray. Amen. If you look into the last few months, God has given the opportunity to study from book of Exodus. And does anyone recollect where we were last time? Which mountain? Mount Sinai, isn't it? Mount Sinai. And if you remember, the Exodus started in the month of Nisan. The time the Passover was on the 14th day of Nisan. The very next day, on the 15th day of Nisan, the first month, the people started their journey. Does anyone recollect what month was it that they entered the Mount Sinai? Third month. Thank you, Raj. Very encouraging. Good answer. On the third month, on the first day, you read in Exodus chapter 19, I believe, the third month, they entered the Mount Sinai. And the Lord was ministering last time. You know how long were they in Mount Sinai? Approximately? 11 months. They were there for 11 months and the Mount Sinai. And it is a very particular time as we look into 11 months. What happened was God gave several instructions, his commandments, his laws. Not only that, he gave the pattern for the tabernacle. And they had the first numbering of how many people, census. They had the census when they were in Mount Sinai. You see in Numbers. And they had the first Passover, the second Passover as well in Mount Sinai. We'll look into it. So now when we look into this particular verse, as we read in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, these are the words the Lord spoke with Moses when he's on the Mount Sinai for 40 days. So these are the words Lord is speaking to Moses when he's on the mountain for how many days? 40 days. And just look into the verse 8. What is the Lord's heart? What is Lord saying? Let them make me a sanctuary, and I may dwell among them, according to all that I'll show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instrument thereof, even so shall he make it. God the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, this is the heart of God, that he may dwell among his people. He is the same God yesterday, today and forever. His heart is the same. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. He wants to dwell in our hearts. He wants to dwell in the midst of the people. Isaiah 66, 1 says, the heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What can you build for a house of God? The earth is a footstool, a dust, sinful land. But God is desiring that you may build a sanctuary where I may dwell in that place. Now, as you continue to read from here, from Exodus, the book of Leviticus was given in Mount Sinai, I believe. Because most of the things, what we are speaking now, what Moses has to do is get the pattern for the tabernacle. So as you turn pages from the book of Exodus to chapter 40, now God is going to give the pattern for the tabernacle. And you see most of the instructions in Leviticus, book of Leviticus. You read how the priestly garments, how the things would be offered, the offering, everything God is speaking to Moses. So when you look at it, most of the five books written by Moses in these 11 months were the precious time God was giving for the future, for the pattern of the tabernacle, the shadow of things to come. The shadow of things to come. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Has anyone played a memory game when you were, in India, used to have a memory game? We used to have a few things on the table, and they used to ask you to look at it. And after that, you go back and you have to write down everything you saw, right? This tabernacle had many things to note down. And if you turn to Exodus chapter 35, I want you to observe as we read a few things, and I want you to share. So give a good observation of this chapter as we read. There'll be a few questions. And think about what was there in the tabernacle. And secondly, think about how the people were willing, who gave these things to the Lord, and how they gave it. Three things. What was there in the tabernacle, and who bought these things, and how they gave it. So I shall read for you from Exodus chapter 35, from verse 5 onwards. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen of and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red and badgers, skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his covenant, coverings, his takes, and his boards, and his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, and the ark, and the staffs thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table, and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, the candlesticks, the candlestick, and also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps, with the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, his brazen gates, his staffs, and his vessels, the laver, and his foot, the hanging of the court, his pillar and their sockets, and the hanging of the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court, and their cords, the clothes of the service, and to do service in the holy place, the holy garments of Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in his priest office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, even one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all the service, and all his service for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and bought bracelet, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and red skins of rams, and badgers, skins brought them. Every one that did offer for an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and bought that which they had spun, both blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the ruler bought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel bought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all the manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Quite a bit of things there, isn't it? If I ask you, share with me, what were the things? Any things? What would you come with first? Have you seen the tabernacle? Any picture of tabernacle? What was there in the tabernacle? The presence of the Lord, that's a big one.
And also all the articles of embedded with the spirit of willingness.
That's the willingness, but the things in the tabernacle, the physical things, you can see.
The tents,
the coverings.
Sockets. Bars, pillars.
Vessels. Yes, you remember the ark of incense? Remember the burnt offering? Remember the ark of covenant? I passed on a picture of a simple. There are many things, but this is the a brief layout. Has anyone got? Everyone got this? Yeah. So, if you look at the pattern of the tabernacle, it says it was 150 feet by 75 feet approximately in width, the whole sanctuary. And if you look at the entrance, God had told the place where it has to be placed, the things where it has to be. As you see the altar of burnt offering at the front of the burnt offering, if you remember the last time, Nadab and Abihu was to look after that. And the fire has to burn day and night, and the fire should not go out. It speaks of the presence of God. This morning the children are speaking about this little of mine. Continue to shine. The word of God says, may your light so shine before men that people may see your good works and glorify the Father. Presence of God burning in our hearts. It's only in Jesus Christ. You see the labor? That was the priest. Whenever they entered, they had to wash, use the water there to wash themselves, cleanse themselves, and they shall not enter without being consecrated and with a clean heart, outwardly cleansed as well. So we're looking at this part of the place. It's called a holy place. Few important, there are many things, but you read about a colors. Did you remember the colors? The Lord gave specific colors. Anyone remember the colors? What colors did they bring?
Scarlet,
yeah. And there was a white linen. The white linen would be white. So you would see the curtains were made. There were two curtains placed. The holy place and the most holy place divided. They were made of purple, blue, and scarlet yarn, and white. Everything, the color of purple reminds of royal color. The white linen speaks of purity. The scarlet yarn, the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blue, the heavenly blue, mid-heaven, the skies and the water. God has chosen every single thing, the colors they had to bring. You see, there were seven lampstands. There were seven lampstands. We see in Revelation 1:13, there were seven lamps. In the midst of the seven lamps, there stood one like the Son of Man. Revelation 1:13 says that. Brothers and sisters, if this morning, if Jesus is not in our midst, our purposes in vain. He is the light. And Jesus was in the midst of the seven lamps. The seven lamps reminded of the church, isn't it? We see the on the north side is the showbread. There were 12 showbreads. And God's provision. Jesus is the heavenly bread. He has given us provision in the wilderness. And as you see, the altar of incense. Just as we before entering the most holy place, this altar of incense. The sweet aroma to God. We were reading Philippians chapter 4 verse 18. When Epaphroditus bought an offering, went to Paul, he said, you know, it is a sweet aroma, a willing heart when you offer a pleasing to God, a sweet aroma to God. And this is the most holy place. And there were curtains laid in the sanctuary. What was in the most holy place? The Ark of Covenant. The most important part of the sanctuary. Why is it so important part? It was in the Ark of the Covenant. If you read chapter 25, Exodus chapter 25. The Ark of Covenant was made of acacia wood. And there was laid a pure gold. It was made of pure gold. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there was a mercy seat. And there were two angels with the cherubim looking at each other. And Lord said that at that particular place, if you turn to Exodus chapter 25, verse 20 and 21, it says, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubim speak. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Brothers and sisters, please note down verse 22. The presence of God dwelt on the mercy seat. And what was in the Ark of Covenant? There was a pot of manna, golden pot of the manna. There was the Aaron's rod, which had budded, God's authority, the chosen priesthood. And there was the Ten Commandments, the two tablets. Three things was in the Ark of Covenant. The covenant was there, but people broke the covenant many times. And in that, on that mercy seat, the holy place, the most holy place, in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2 says, tell Aaron not to come whenever he wants. No, he can only come with the blood of a substitute, an animal, and he shall enter. They should enter once in a year on the Day of Atonement. And he would take the blood, and with the fingers, he would sprinkle on the mercy seat. And God would accept. God would see this blood of an animal as a substitute. Brothers and sisters, as we look into the tabernacle, the instruction, God created this world in 6 days. And seventh day, he rested. But God is giving more than 40 days of detailed instructions of how this tabernacle had to be made. I haven't even able to share you. I'll probably share you a glimpse of it. There's much more in it. But every little thing speaks of the shadow of things to come. His divine audiences. The colors used. Now we saw a little bit about tabernacle. Who bought these things? God could have said, let there be tabernacle. They would have been tabernacle, isn't it? But God chose men and women like you and me to build this tabernacle. God's dwelling, God's structure, God's order, God's divine purposes used like men like you and me, his own people, to dwell in this place. How did they bring it? We read a few verses in chapter 35. How did they bring it? What was their heart? How did the God, willingly, isn't it? We heard the word. We read the word and they bought it willingly. We read the word, it was volunteer. And they bought it heartily. And you also read, God stirred their hearts. God stirred their hearts. If you remember last time we were reading about Belzeel, the grandson of Son of Hur, who was anointed with the wisdom of God to do the tabernacle. And there were many other people who were chosen by God. Firstly, they were chosen by God. They were gifted by God. They had the wisdom of God to carry out these works. And their heart was stirred to do this work. How many times in your life, in my life, there's something you did for the Lord, and the Lord has stirred your heart to do it. God has given you the burden to do it. You may be involved in any ministry. When you're doing it in willing heart, with all your heart, that is pleasing to God. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do to the Lord, do it heartily. It is for the Lord whom you do it, not for a man. And doing heartily. So that was how these things they bought. They bought purple. People who ever had purple, blue, scarlet yarn, they all bought it. Imagine stitching a curtain for about 8 feet and 10 curtains. Exodus 26:1 says there were about 10 curtains, and there was actually more as you read. And they had to make curtains. The women stitched. You read that the women were stirred, and they embroidered, they stitched, and they had to put. There were acacia wood placed on the sanctuary. Most of the wood was used acacia wood or shittim wood. And these wood are grown in barren lands, and God chose this wood. Now, as we look into Exodus chapter 40, if you please turn to Exodus chapter 40, God gives us the specific time when this was actually put in place. So God gave all these instructions. I would think it would have been 4 or 5 months since Moses has been twice to mountain, as you know, 40 days and 40 days. If you know the story, Moses, the first time he came, the people had already broken the covenant. Again, he broke the Ten Commandments, and again he went after 40 days. So I would think at least it's been 5 months now since they're at Mount Sinai. And if you read Exodus chapter 40, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark within the veil. The first day of the first month. Where are we now? 3 months plus 11. There are up to 14 months by the time they leave Mount Sinai. It's approximately exactly 1 year, 14 days before the first day of the month of Nisan. God has ordained and commanded them, they will now set up the tabernacle. So for the past 5 months, the people of God are bringing things for the Lord, are preparing these articles and for the tabernacle for the Lord. And Exodus chapter 20, one of the verse says they bought so much that the Lord, Moses had to tell them, if we turn to Exodus chapter 20. Yeah, there's a verse, it says that Moses had to stop them bringing more because they bought plenty for the Lord. And Moses had to probably come back to us, but take it from me. The people bought more than enough. More than enough. And Moses has to still stop. This is enough. When God is at work, God shall provide. He is our provider. And He will bring the people. He'll provide the things. And on the first day of month of Nisan, they started building the tabernacle. So this tabernacle... Sorry, brother? 36 verses. Thank you, brother. And you see verse 5 and 6. And they spake unto Moses, saying, people bring much more than enough for the service of the word which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave the commandment. They caused it to proclaim through the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary so the people were restrained from bringing. What a beautiful time of the people of Exodus. They had a willing heart. They had a heart to bring. They had much giving. Gold, silver, or precious, isn't it? Money sometimes is God our first love. We sing that song, He is my first love. Giving all your gold, silver. They only had probably little, but they gave it all. And there was much gold used, much clothes used. So just as we look into Numbers chapter 9, you read that they had the first Passover, second Passover in the land of Mount Sinai. As you read, as we turn to Numbers chapter 9, please turn to Numbers chapter 9. And you read verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai on the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at this appointed season. And if you read the verse 17 of the same chapter, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched the tent. So the presence of God filled the tabernacle. It would be 14 days from we read Exodus chapter 40 verse 1, the first day of Nisan. On the 14th day of Nisan is the Passover. So this would have been a kind of portable sanctuary because they did not live all their life in Mount Sinai, as you know. They had to move the tents for still 38 years to go. 40 years to go, you know, and they had to move the sanctuary. It was a portable sanctuary, and they would have probably built in a few days' time, and they were ready for the second Passover. One thing you need to remember is the presence of God dwelt in the tabernacle. And when the cloud was at the tabernacle, they stayed at that place. When the cloud of the presence of God was lifted up, it was time for them to move. And the presence of God led them all the way. And they had to cross Jordan. Remember the story of Jordan, where Joshua had to cross after 40 years? What went first? It was the Ark of the Covenant. You read in Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, and it's a chapter speaks about, it was the priest has to carry when they were about to enter the land. It was the Ark of the Covenant. They carried, and the Jordan, the waters of Jordan stopped. And they entered the land. The Philippians, we read, the good work of the Lord will be accomplished. He who began the good work will be accomplished. It's the presence of God, though they failed, though they did not deserve the promised land, but yet God was faithful. And he entered, they entered the promised land. Yes, many could not make it. Joshua, Caleb, and people who are under the age of 20, they all made to the promised land. And so brothers and sisters, as we look into a glimpse of tabernacle, how Lord ordained, that was not it. These were all to the things, the shadow of things to come. When you come to what happens next, after 400 years, you read in 1 Kings chapter 6, David had a heart to build a house for the Lord. Yeah? And we know the Solomon Temple. We still see the wall in Jerusalem today. And David had a heart to build a house for the Lord. And God told to David, your son shall build, Solomon shall build it for me. If you read 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, 418 years after the Exodus, 418 years after the Exodus, Solomon built the house of God. And where was the pattern given? I used to think pattern was given to Solomon and David. No, the pattern was given by God to Moses. It was the same pattern. The temple had the holy place and it had the most holy place. And only the high priest could enter once in a year. It was the same pattern. And they kept the Passover. And the temple became, the sanctuary became the temple of God, the presence of God. We won't go into it. We won't have time. When Solomon prayed, as brother was sharing with us this morning, when Solomon prayed, God's glory filled the temple. Remember? The Solomon's temple, the God's glory filled the temple. God's glory filled the tabernacle. God's spirit filled the temple. And later we know that temple was again destroyed, isn't it? In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the temple was destroyed. But we know the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. Yeah? They again built the temple. They rebuilt the temple. And the temple, when Jesus was coming, we're talking about 2,000 years before now. Let's turn to, as we look into the times of Jesus, what was the chapter Jesus read when he was in a synagogue? Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. He said, "The Spirit of God is upon me. I've come to heal the brokenhearted." The Spirit of God dwelt in his Son of living God. God, at his appointed time, he sent his beautiful Son, Jesus Christ. In him, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "In him, the fullness of God dwells." In him, the fullness of God dwells. He had the Spirit of God, the fullness of God. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of God." The glory of God in him. The fullness of God, the Spirit of God, the glory of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15 says, "He had the exact representation of Almighty God." He was the representation of the Father. The glory of the Father, Spirit of God, living in this one beautiful Son, Jesus as flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt like a human. And that's what John wrote in 1 John. "We have seen him, we have witnessed him. In him was life, and it is our life." But when Jesus spoke these words, when you turn to John's Gospel chapter 2, verse 9, he was at the temple. John's Gospel chapter 2. And verse 9 says, "Then answered the Jews," verse 18, "and said unto him, What sign showest unto thou, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus said these words, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up." What was this temple? How could Jesus build it? They said it took 40 and 6 years to build the temple. And Jesus is saying, "Destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days. They did not understand what Jesus was speaking that day. How many days after Jesus came resurrected? After 3 days. He was speaking about himself as being the temple of living God. As we turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 verse 50. We turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 and verse 50. This is the day when Jesus was on the cross. And Jesus spoke few words, as we read 7 words. And you read these words when Jesus spoke on Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 verse 50. When he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake. And the rocks rent. Brothers and sisters, we read about tabernacle. The most holy place and the holy place in between was the veil. And nobody could enter the veil except the high priest once in a year. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, on the last breath, that veil was torn top to bottom. It speaks about the access God has given for me and you to enter into the presence of living God. None of us have the access. We are unworthy as we are. We can only enter his presence by his grace alone. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 8, please turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Now of these things which we have spoken, is the Son. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is ordained to the free gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. We have a tabernacle, God is speaking, not made with hands. A spiritual tabernacle, not seen. And every high priest had to offer something, yes? But Jesus offered himself for us. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 9. I think these verses can be more meaningful as we're reading about tabernacle. As you read it from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant and also ordinance of divine service and of a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made with first, wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the gold part that had manna and the Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, the signifying that the way that into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was the figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in the meats and drinks and diverse washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of the goats and calves, but by the own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls and of goats and ashes and heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Brothers and sisters, just visualize the tabernacle, the priest entering the most holy place to offer the sins of the people. Hebrews says Jesus is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And he's entering into the tabernacle not made with hands. When Jesus died on the cross, he was our substitute on the cross. He was our Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he died, he entered the most holy place, where? To heaven itself. To heaven itself. He entered the heaven to offer his own precious blood as a sacrifice for me and you. And God has accepted his sacrifice for me and you. If blood of an animal was accepted as a temporary sacrifice, how much more of this most holy sacrifice, which has been offered at the most holy place, the heaven itself, which has been cleansed us from our dead works. I think the word of God reminds us of how Jesus Christ was the high priest, and he entered a tabernacle not made with hands. What an assurance God can give us. And he has given us his righteousness, his peace, because he's the mediator of this new covenant. Now, brothers and sisters, as we look into tabernacle, We looked at how the tabernacle was given, the pattern, and we looked at the Solomon's temple time, how the time, the pattern was continued and Solomon built. And now we saw when Jesus died, the veil was broken. And to tell that God does not dwell in a building. God dwells in your hearts. Where is this tabernacle now?
The church.
The church. Where does God live? Does He live in a building? He lives in my heart. He lives in your heart. What did we read in Exodus chapter 25 verse 8 and 9? This was the heart of God. Tabernacle, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in the midst of the people. God has not given up His desire. He has continued. He has continued to an extent that He has come. The same God is living. He's made a tabernacle in my heart and in your heart. Great God, I do not know what is that that God desires to dwell in us. His love, His mind of Christ, His when the church gathers, as we heard today, we are all one spirit of one God. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just a few verses I finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 says, "Know ye not, your body is the temple of Holy Ghost, which is in which ye have of God, ye are not of your own. Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit which are God's. Know ye not, you are the temple of living God, and we have been bought with a precious price, which is Jesus gave Himself." Paul was writing this to a carnal church who were in sin, who had, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a few verses there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If a man, if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, where the temple, which temple ye are." Very powerful warning verse as well, as we look into this verse. God is same God. His temple is a holy temple. His church is a holy temple. And we have been called, the verse says, "Be holy, for I am holy." If God is holy, His temple is holy. If any man defiles the church, God says, "I would destroy." Because we've been called to build the church. We've been called to be in one spirit, not being carnal. God hates carnal in church. He was speaking and addressing, Paul was addressing to a carnal church who are of self. And God, word of God reminds us, we are of one spirit. We are of same spirit and same body, different members, but one body. And this is where we are now. If you turn to Revelation chapter 21, last two verses there. This is the future. This is the future of new heaven and new earth. And Revelation chapter 21 verse 3 says, "I heard a great voice of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." The tabernacle of God is with men. This is our God, from glory to glory. Glory, much more revelation, much more to see. We only know a glimpse of Him. He is a great God. His design is great. His order is great. His pattern, His discipline. When you look at the tabernacle, the order He has given, everything is structured. He's a God of order. And He has a plan. A definite plan. A plan for you to give you hope. An expected end. Full of hope. Not to harm you. And this is our Father. And verse 22 says of the same chapter. In the new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21 and verse 22 says, "I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." In the new heaven you have, there's no temple, because the sanctuary itself, the most holy place itself, is the temple of God. Heaven itself is the holy place of God. And the Lamb is the temple, the Son of Man. May the Word of God remind us we have been chosen to call into His holiness. As people steered, as God steered the hearts of people, willingly, heartily, they served the Lord. And it was pleasing to God. In this spiritual house, may the Lord help me and you be a priest. Priestly service. Whatever we are doing is called, we are priests. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood. May we offer a priestly service, honoring Him in His holiness, which is pleasing in His sight and being worthy of His calling. Shall we pray in this? Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to meditate upon the word of tabernacle. Yes, Father, in my limitation, Lord, we have looked into this. Father, help us, Lord, in the coming days, Father, we may walk in your holiness and be worthy of your calling. And Lord, whatever you have called us in our ministry, with a willing heart, with a heartful heart, and bless the brothers and sisters with the gifts, and that you may continue to build your church, and you may extend and establish in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.